This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you. You are in the loop. John Lopez, Reginald Attula, Figgy Fig. Those are the names of the people that are talking to you right now. Shout out to the fellas.
You think I'm kidding? I'm literally
No, I know you are, and it makes me very excited for what 1040 the question of the day sounds like, because it might just be bang on John Lopez time. That might be what it is.
So what are you texting her right now?
The question of the day is, what are things that I'm hard-headed about?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you texting her, what am I hard-headed about?
Yeah.
Oof, that's going to be, are you going to send some, go ahead and send it to Christina. I don't know if she'll respond.
Now
this is,
screw it.
We're doing it as a family, baby.
Yeah.
We're doing it as a family.
I wasn't trying to get involved.
No, you part of it. What you mean not trying to get involved? Trying to hide back there behind the microphone. All right, let's get going on a Tuesday.
And then I texted, thoughts? 1040, baby.
I have a feeling that thoughts is going to come back as one of the thoughts. All right, 713-572-4610 is the number to text if you want to get involved with the program. Also, appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Law Firm for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston, where, I mean, I think we've had over a day now to think about this. We've had some time to breathe, hopefully to wind down a little bit. When it comes to your Rockets, as it pertains to them, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as the show goes along, but are you a stand pat or are you a be aggressive now? Because I think that there was a lot of conversation when it comes to this team going into the playoffs, even very early into that particular series, where people were like, this is a young team, you were a number two seed. You know, you've got these young, talented guys. There's a lot of development to be had. This is their first playoff series, so on and so forth. And it feels like there was a lot of folks that were in that stand pat area. Now, after the series, I kind of want to get a gauge for where people are. Are you in that stand pat situation still, where you want to let this team grow? Like Ime Udoka's talked about, that there's still a higher ceiling on the potential of this group. Or are you in be aggressive mode? Are you interested in some of the names that have been put out there? Or even just in the general sense, do you feel like you need to push forward with what this team has beyond what this team has?
If you're not aggressive at this point, then you're not doing the team justice. You're not serving the team or its fans or anyone else the way they need to be served. Because this is very much a correlation to what the Texans were after the first year.
I'm glad you brought it up.
It's like, hey, they got a window opening. They got a window open. What are we going to do? Just stand pat, or we're going to go out and get, you know, Aziz Alshaier. I'm talking about last year, you know, and some of these other guys, and Stephon Diggs and things like that. No, you have to be aggressive here. This isn't a team that is, hey, they might have something. No, they have something. They're just not there yet. You know, that you have to be aggressive.
Yeah, but I think and we got some text yesterday talking about, like, this team feels like you're in the 2023 Texans realm, where after the season, you looked around and you were like, hey, this was great. Like, this was a step forward, but now the expectations change. With those expectations changing, like, do you have the circumstance to meet the new risen or raised expectations, right? And I think with the Texans, there is a little bit of a difference from that last season where they had some young talent, where you obviously have your C.J. Stroud, you have your Will Anderson Jr., you had Jalen Petrie, you did not necessarily know where that was. You were learning what he had. You had some other young wide receivers. Obviously, you had Damian Pierce. Like, you had some things, But I don't think that the talent level that the Rockets have equates nicely to what the Texans have, right? It's a different level of young talent. Basketball-wise, mm-hmm. to the point where you could not get them all involved in what you were doing. In the regular season, you had some deep rosters, or deep rotations, rather. In the postseason, you couldn't even find the space to get them all involved. Now, maybe you could say that, hey, you could have done more to get some of these guys involved, but in the ways that a playoff rotation shrinks, you couldn't find all that space for them. So it's a little bit different in that regard, in that you still have a lot of talent. It's just, I think the evaluation becomes, is this talent there? And I think that I'm in the place where I'm also in an aggressive space, and it's because of the history that we've seen in basketball.
Yeah, I think I'm in the aggressive space because, just to use your point, like, the Texans had the franchise, the dude, but not a lot of the other pieces at an elite level. The Rockets have a lot of the other pieces at an elite level, but not the dude. So they're different but similar. You know, I mean, like, the Texans were looking for those other really good big pieces to complement the franchise. They have that, the Rockets. They don't have the franchise. So that alone tells you should probably be aggressive, because they're in the same space in terms of the window being open.
Yeah, and the thing about it, when you bring in the window being open, and we'll dive mm-hmm. more into this. We got B. Scott coming in at 11, mm-hmm. and I know B. Scott wants to talk about this. Yeah. So we'll talk to him more when we get into that. But I think that I keep coming back to the Memphis Grizzlies, who mm-hmm. were in your place just 2 years ago. Actually, there's two teams that I'm kind of thinking of in this space. The Grizzlies and the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Grizzlies were in this space 2 years ago, and you could even make the argument that they had more of an answer in regards to who do you give the ball to in those moments where you just need to get a bucket.
Well, sure they did. Right? Well, they absolutely did.
A couple years ago, they were the number two seed. They had all the young talent. They had a young, hot coach that people liked a lot, mm-hmm. and they were looked at as, ooh, they're opening up a window. Right? Yeah. This is going to be there. And something that frequently happens in sports that I don't think we acknowledge enough is that we see a young team, we go, oh man, they're going to be here for the next 5 years. And then all of a sudden you look up and something has shaken to the point where they're not in that same space. And that's happened with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
But on the other end, the Thunder did have an abundance of talent, but they knew that they had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's Texans-esque, in a sense. I mean,
right, you knew you had CJ, you knew you had Will.
Yeah. But you didn't have all the other pieces.
But I think that the Thunder were in that place where they could just kind of chill because they knew that they had that central piece that they were building around. I think this Rockets team is still looking for something that could be that central piece.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Man, well, they bring white gloves into the studio.
They sure
things,
do.
Things just change.
If you
things
are
things just change. You get a trophy that has that's white glove worthy. That's a trophy, baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you are viewing us on the live streams, you will see that I am currently sitting closer than I could have ever imagined to the Gold Cup. It is the championship. It is the trophy that is won in the Gold Cup tournament.
Yeah.
And we are joined by the legendary, right? The legendary Houston Dynamo player, U.S. International. Brian Ching joins us now in studio to talk about the Gold Cup. Brian, how you doing, man?
I got a chill there, good, Brian. White good, gloves, thanks, baby.
I know, it's pretty ridiculous, huh?
That is one badass trophy right there. It is the Gold Cup.
You know, the funny thing is when I played about 20, 25 years ago there, it was probably even longer than that, it was silver.
Oh, really? The Gold Cup was silver.
I'm pretty sure it was silver. That's my memory of it anyway. They upgraded.
That is fantastic. And Reggie and I are just huge, as you know. I've covered you since we were going international and Dynamo and all the titles and all that. And that's how I got to know you a little bit. Huge soccer fans here. For those who are main or maybe casual soccer fans, this is enormous. The Gold Cup in Houston, especially the final. Can you just kind of talk
about
it?
Can we make it explicit what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
The city of Houston will host the final, of this Gold Cup tournament.
Yes, yes.
It's, in fact, 2 months from this date specifically.
July 6th is the final. So if you want to come, CONCACAF.com. It's at NRG. CONCACAF.com is where you can get tickets. It'll be fun. You know, I've played in some of my best memories of or games have been in the Gold Cup, when we won the Gold Cup in Chicago, 2007, I think, was the year that we won. And then one of my worst, we lost in the final, I think, you know, 2 to 3 years later, 4-5-0 to Mexico in New York. That was a tough one. But you know what? This is for...
At least Mexico doesn't talk a lot when they win.
You know, back in the day, they never used to shake your hand. So.
at least they're humble about it.
It's a good rivalry, you know, and a lot of good games have come out of it. But it's whoever's the best in the region at the time, right? And so it's you know, Caribbean, North America, and Central America. Who's the best team, a tournament, or who's going to be the best team? And so, you know, typically in the past, the U.S. and Mexico have won it the most. But, you know, as the MLS has grown, you've seen the competition from teams like Honduras, Canada. Canada's coming on strong, just beat the U.S. like two times in a row, right? So it's going to be a good tournament, you know, and the turnout and the finals are always fun games to go to and experience.
Yeah, I was interested for you, obviously, being a U.S. international, playing quite a bit and at a very high level. Like, where did the Gold Cup rank for you when it comes to these tournaments? Clearly, it's not going to be in the same space as the World Cup, but, I mean, beyond that, it has to rank fairly highly, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, the biggest honor for a player is to represent their country, right? And so you're playing for your country in a tournament. So it's a pretty major, major thing in a lot of the players' eyes, right? And so, you know, especially when it comes to regional competition, you want to be the best, right? And anytime a U.S. guy steps on the field, they want to win a game. And so, you know, a lot of these finals have come down to U.S.-Mexico, which is a massive rivalry. You know, I loved playing in those games and also hated playing in those games, you know, at the same time. But, you know, a lot of pride comes down to when there's something like this trophy on the line. And I think you're going to see a lot of that passion this summer.
And other games as well at Shell Energy Stadium. Can you take us through those? I was thinking about this, you know, when I saw you in the hallway earlier. Like, you know, you've got a bunch of nations coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them have big representations in Houston. Every single one of them. It's going to be just a wild atmosphere, even if you just want to go see and you're not really pulling for one or the other.
Look, one of the things I love about Houston is its diversity, right? And anytime you come and you play, you know, like a Honduras or El Salvador, who have massive backings here in Houston, you know, a lot of it comes from guys like Boniak playing on the Dynamo. And, you know, anytime... those two teams come here, you get these big, big crowds that sell out Shell Stadium. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's going to be a bunch of games at Shell Stadium for the lead up into the final. Hopefully, you know, I want to see the U.S. make the final, obviously, you know, rooting for them. But you never know the way the competition is grown. And so, you know, there's games here on June 19th, 21st and 24th at Shell Energy Stadium. You know, come pregame at Pitch 25. We're going to just throw that in.
There we go. Yeah, of course. That's a great place.
And then the finals on July 6th, which is going to be explosive, especially if it's the U.S. Mexico game.
All right, so you mentioned the United States men's national team, and I mean, in tracking it, I have a group chat that we pop off anytime there's a friendly or any kind of match. And under Poch, it's just, I mean, a huge name at the top of it. Like, what has been your impression of his early tenure? Because it's been a little rocky, but I'm interested to kind of see from a professional's perspective how you're viewing it.
It is definitely rocky, right? And anytime a new coach or new change comes in, it always takes a while for the players and the coach to kind of get along, and maybe the coach to kind of implement, you know, his style or what he wants within the team. And so, you know, it's been disappointing, I'm not going to lie, to watch the U.S. Struggle recently. But when I look at that team and see that some of the things that they've accomplished in the past, you know, I have a tons of faith in them. And I think they're going to get it right for the World Cup. They're just in a rough patch, which sometimes is good as a team. You know, if you can make it out of that rough patch stronger, sticking together, that's one of the things that is going to get them far in tournaments when they kind of figure that cohesion out.
So this Gold Cup is going to be the opportunity for like the triumphant surge of the United States men's national team under Poch, right?
It's a huge tournament, I think, for them to get things right, you know. And I think there's a lot of pressure on Poch to get things right. And if he doesn't get things right, you know, a year out from the World Cup, there's a good chance that it could change, right? And you know, one of the things I always wanted to see or like to see is when they get, you know, former U.S. guys on the staff. They knew what made us successful in the past. And a lot of that comes down to just the American spirit and the fight and the cohesion that the team has. And, you know, with guys playing all over the world now on the team, that sometimes that makes it difficult. But I think getting a guy like Tyler Adams back, I think he's kind of the core of that team. You know, him and McKinney and Pulisic, as far as, you know, what the culture is going to be. And if they can get that culture right, this team can go really, really far.
You just hit on exactly what I wanted to ask you about. Like, back in the day, especially when you were playing, the United States was known as defense and midfield. You know, your strengths, you know, but that's changing with so many people playing internationally. Would you like to see that more aggressive, you know, up front type style?
You know what I want to see? I want to see just cohesion and fight from the guys, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that they're talented enough to be very successful now. I mean, you know, some of these guys are playing some of the top clubs in the world and doing well. And so, you know, what I think they need to get right is that cohesion, that fight, back to the American spirit. What made us successful in the past is we weren't technical as a lot of the other teams, but we were just as athletic, and we had that spirit of, hey, it's us against the world, and we got to go out there and we got to stick together. And, you know, some of the most successful teams I've been on have, pretty much all the successful teams that I've seen have some level of cohesion, that there's a culture in that team. There's a spirit, there's a fight, and it comes not only from the coach, but I think more so from the players. Mm-hmm. And they have to have a core group of guys that lead that culture and that spirit. And if you don't buy in, you got to get out, you know, you get pushed out. So I think they kind of had that going into the World Cup, you know, when they were really successful as a young group of guys. And I think they've kind of lost that a little bit, but hopefully they can find that back in the Gold Cup tournament.
We're talking to Brian Ching on behalf of the CONCACAF Gold Cup, which is coming to Houston. The final will be here July 6th at NRG Stadium. There's a few games ahead of that in June as well that are going to be at Shell Energy Stadium, so you want to get out there and see it. But I did want to ask you real quick before we let you go. As a man who's played in the Gold Cup, you mentioned some of the finals, but is there kind of a resounding memory outside of those, like kind of the outcomes of the Gold Cups that lasts with you? Is there like a high point or maybe even a low point that you think about when you think of the Gold Cup?
Yeah, I think the high point was in 2007 in Chicago when we won. You know, Mexico went up 1-0, and then we had to kind of fight our way back to win that game. You know, and like I said, the American spirit, you know, we were in Chicago, 80,000 seat stadium, and we were the away fans, unfortunately. You know, we were the away team, unfortunately. You know, we score a goal and we got beer thrown on us and stuff, but you know, that's what we expected back then. You know, hopefully it's a little bit different now, with more and more Americans getting into it, supporting the men's national team. And so that was probably my pinnacle of my Gold Cup highlights.
Well, we hope that the U.S. men's national team can do something special this time around, especially with it being here in Houston. Brian, we appreciate you greatly. I'm probably going to talk your ear off about a little bit of Dynamo here in a second, but we thank you for coming in, man.
Thank you guys for having me. Thanks.
There you go. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Tuesday. Coming up next, are we watching the one thing that can unravel the Astros happen right now? 713-572-4610. We will talk about that next.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Tuesday to you. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula, Figgy Fig hanging out with you. I think that might have been the first time I actually called myself Reggie Atatula. but yeah, still appreciate you hanging out with us. Much appreciation to Brian Ching. Off of the microphone, Oscar Boniek Garcia, which was fun for me because mm-hmm. the dude who like just absolutely got a chance to love his game playing for the Dynamo. And just to be fully transparent, because that's the type of show that I think we want to run here. I said at the end of that segment that I was going to talk Brian Ching's ear off about mm-hmm. the Dynamo, and then I got scared. I got scared. I did not ask him.
That's Brian effing Ching.
I didn't ask him a question. I was like, I watched you win championships, dog. Like, no, the MLS Cups, for real. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to these Astros, because there was another loss yesterday when it comes to, on the field at least, when it comes to runs, 5-1 loss against the Brewers, which was a little disconcerting because you, John Lopez, hyped me up that this was, oh, no, it's cool. They're going up against some easier challenges here. Yeah. Like, they're going to be able to. No, they got another loss. But more importantly, before the game got going, we found out that, and actually, right about three. Mm-hmm. So just about an hour after we got off the air, we found out that Yordan Alvarez was going to the IL with a hand injury. And I imagine that that's part of this. That's a large part of this, because it's possible that we are watching the one thing that can unravel the Astros right before our eyes.
Yeah, look, I did reserve the right to change my mind. Remember that part?
I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember
that at all.
So it's more of a question. Are we watching the one thing that can unravel our Astros' hopes or Astros' hopes? Because, like, the two players that are just non-negotiables, to me anyway, and we get Jeremy Peña, you know, is having a good start and, you know, is a proven player in the postseason. So, but the two players that are kind of non-negotiable are Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah.
Well, Yordan is now on the IL. And, you know, we saw it.
Can I add, retroactive to the third? So, I mean, it's probably about a week.
May 13th is the earliest he can come off.
Yes.
Yeah, May 13th is the earliest he can come off. So what we're seeing, and we saw it yesterday live and in living color, was the some of the issues that might pop up. And specifically, that's runners in scoring position, clutch hits. Remember, you know, I speculated yesterday when we were talking about Yordan that he had a hand issue. We didn't know he was going to go on the IL at the time.
I mean, he had missed a couple games back to back.
Right. That maybe that's something that has been there all along. You know, maybe it's something that has sort of lingered and affected his batting average, his .210 batting average, and his 18 RBI in 29 games, et cetera. Well, I'm pretty much convinced that that has been the case, that it's been there all along. And here's the problem. Who was the guy that said, yeah, it's the same ankle, but it's in a different place? Remember, was it? Who was that?
I don't remember which of.
It was a Raven, I think. Was it the Ravens? Anyway, we were laughing about it. Like, it's the same ankle. You know, but so the swelling is in a different place. It's still the same ankle. Well, guess what Joe Espada said yesterday? It's the same hand that put him on the IL last year, but he said the inflammation is just in a different place. That ain't great.
No,
that ain't great.
It doesn't feel great. Yeah. And I think when it comes to the more immediate portion of this, mm-hmm. like the idea of this being the thing that unravels the Astros kind of feels silly because those guys haven't been incredible either. Like they've been the best. Well, not they. Yeah. Altuve has been one of the better of the guys who have been doing things outside of, I mean, like Jake Meyers getting out here with 4-4 and, you know, a couple of homers and all that. But like, no, I mean, it's been Jose Altuve, but even to his own standards, he has mm-hmm. not been all that great. And the whole team has just lacked hitting, especially slugging, mm-hmm. right? Like even in instances where they get some hits, it's singles, it's, you know, maybe a rare double here or there. Like it has not been nearly enough offense there. But I think in the long term, and I think that might be what you're getting at when we start mm-hmm. talking about windows, hell, we were just talking about the Rockets window, and we will circle back around to that conversation. But like when you talk about windows, that's kind of been this season feels like a sub kind of conversation to that larger thing about mm-hmm. the windows. And if you find out that, you know, Yordan Alvarez is dealing with something that's going to be mm-hmm. chronic or that's going to consistently, you know, nag at him, that's going to be a potential window closing type thing, especially right. as you've taken away the light. Like this is where you can go back to the offseason and go, ooh, might not have been the right decision mm-hmm. to not really be aggressive in retaining Alex Bregman. Might not have been the right decision. Well, I still feel like I'd be comfortable with the idea of mm-hmm. the Kyle Tucker trade, especially because of what it feels like we know about the lack of ability that it feels like they would have mm-hmm. to sign him on the backside of it. But losing those high-end talents that can float you in some instances, that can be the tent poles that you then rest your team upon, you have fewer of them now. And the guys who are supposed to be that, mm-hmm. Altuve, Alvarez, it feels like, especially Yordan, it's possible that breaking down is happening. That's the type of thing that could really shut that
way. Yeah, and that's why I'm saying, like, it might have lingered all year long. It might be something that has lingered all season long thus far. And he's a non-negotiable. Like, you have to have the big fella in clutch situations. Yesterday, 2-for-14 with runners in scoring position. Obviously, Yordan was not there.
And that's not just yesterday. That's all season long.
Well, it's funny you say that because, they've in 20 of their 34 games so far, they've scored 3 or fewer runs. That's kind of the thing where you go, okay, got to get Yordan back, get well soon, Yordan. And some of these other guys, especially, you know, Paredes and Walker have to step up because you're down to one guy that you feel like, okay, he can be our clutch guy, and that's Altuve. So you have to get Yordan back and get more out of the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, but that's been where you are, and that's the thing that's kind of frustrating, or I don't know if it's encouraging or what have you, right, is that I look at this particular injury, and maybe that's the thing that's scary, is I looked at that injury, and I was like, Yordan's not there, and I was like, okay, mm-hmm. like this might actually be good rather than bad, right? And that's something that I definitely don't want to be in that place. Like, I don't want to be in that space where, or you're in dangerous territory if you're ever feeling like, I might be better, even if it's for a mm-hmm. week mm-hmm. without Yordan Alvarez in my lineup. Like that is not a good place to be in, and that's where you are because of how poor he's been. But yeah, that's the type of thing that I think could really end up pulling you down.
Yeah, and he has to get back to his old self. That's the big point here. You know, those two guys are you know, as I mentioned, are non-negotiable if you're going to make any kind of run at all. You know, yesterday was a perfect example. They were only down 3-0 in the sixth inning. That was a very doable type game. You know, you could make some hay in that game. Bases loaded with one out, and Zach DiCenzo and Jake Meyers come up, and there goes the rally. So in other situations, if you had a Yordan healthy or get something out of Walker and Paredes, then all of a sudden, you know, you're back in maybe in that game, maybe win that game.
Are you getting to a place where, here's the thing, like, I don't think you're going to be the type of team that you want to be if you don't have more than just the couple of guys that we're talking about here hitting in a way that's substantial and also hitting in a timely way. Mm-hmm. Are you starting to get to a place where you're worried about if this is just what the Astros are offensively? Because that was one of the concerns. And I know for me personally, I will talk about it for myself and not speak for others. I felt confident that you would have Isak Paredes and you mm-hmm. would have Christian Walker come in and they would be able to give you make up a decent amount of what you were losing offensively with the changes that you made. And it's getting to a place where I'm looking at it like this might be kind of what you are, especially with the way in which you've had an across the board downturn offensively, to the point where we just got a text in, fire Cintron, all right, Alex Cintron. the worst situation to be in as a hitting coach is when people talking about you, right? Because at that point, I feel like it's a bad thing. It rarely, I don't even know how often people go, man, they're hitting so well. Who's that hitting coach? Who's that again? Like, why are they, like, I don't even know how often that happens.
Hire that man.
Yeah, people pop up when they stop hitting for you. But man, I just, are you in that place? Because I think I do have some concern. It's starting to creep in.
I think I'm trending toward that place because you have to get, as we've been talking about, you have to get Yordan back and you have to get more out of those guys. This offense right now, 34 games is not a small sample size. It's early. Everybody say it together, all right?
But the damn bell.
It's not that early. And you know, last year they really started their run kind of the very last of May and the first of June is when they kind of started turning things around. Well, those dates are creeping up on us as well.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, this is what they are, and especially if you don't get these guys healthy. And then the other aspect here, the other big thing, their pitching has been so good.
Right.
Their pitching has deserved better. You know, bullpen, you're getting McCullers back, the starters. I know it was kind of a battling type game from Blanco yesterday. He gave up more hits or as many hits as he's ever given up. As an Astro, I think 7 hits, but by and large, starting pitching has been there. Bullpen has definitely been there. Hader has gotten his saves, and you're still, you know, scoring less than 3 runs in 20 out of 34 games. That's the scary part.
Yeah, right. It feels like you're becoming the Mariners, and I don't like that.
Oh God!
Which, speaking of, Mariners
the A's got the win.
Yeah, the Mariners lost yesterday, so the A's are a game out of the AL.
Mariners and A's, baby.
What world are we living in,
man?
Where do we live in that it's the Mariners and the A's at the top of the AL West?
Yeah,
it is still early, but yeah, we have to see what that looks like as Yordan Alvarez out for at least another week. We're dealing with that kind of hand injury, and I would be lying if I told you that the darkness wasn't creeping in on me right now, baseball wise.
The darkness is creeping in.
The darkness, yes, that is where I am. If you can't tell by the way that I'm wearing my hair today,
a wild moment we had earlier. I'll tell you about that later, Figgy.
It's not that wild. Uh-oh. I think you're hyping it up.
It looked like
an
awning. His hair looked like an awning.
We'll see that. We'll see
the
Astros.
When he put the bun down, it was just like whoop.
See the Astros in action today on the road. And that's another thing. They've been bad on the road.
Yes.
They've been bad.
Yeah.
We'll see what that looks like once more tonight. But coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Inspired by the Celtics, missing shots and continuing to take them. 45 missed threes, most in a playoff game in NBA history. They were hard-headed. And to that end, what are the things in your life that you are hard-headed about? 713-572-4610. We'll bang on John next.
Yeah, I did text the family, and my phone is buzzing like crazy, so I think they have some answers.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Time for the question of the day. Inspired by the Celtics missing 45 three-pointers in a game that they almost won.
45.
They just kept shooting. This is their identity, and they were not moving away from it. Mm-hmm. The level of hard-headedness that, you know,
all of these road teams are killing it, though,
frankly,
man.
Frankly, yeah. I respect. And we'll talk more about that here in a second. But the question of the day is indeed, what are the things in your life that you're just hard-headed about? 713-572-4610. And Lopez, I have a feeling I know where you are on the Celtics and the way that they've gone about this. You would have wanted them to stop shooting three-pointers, no?
Oh, hey, 3 layups and you win the game. Pump fake, drive to the basket, you win the game. And that's not old man on the porch. A lot of young.
That's definitely old man.
No, it's not. A lot of young NBA writers are in the same boat. A lot of NBA coaches.
Once you become a writer, you become an old man on the porch. I think that's part of the journalism degree, is the old man on the porch 101.
What about a lot of radio hosts across the country that are in the same boat and not old?
What happened to driver to the basket?
How did Steph Curry change the game the other night? Driving to the basket. That's Steph effing Curry. That did that. But that's neither here nor there.
can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah.
Do you happen to remember who won the championship last year?
I think it was these Boston Celtics.
You want to know how they did it?
They were a very talented team.
By putting up the most three-pointers in NBA history. Like, this is what they have done.
That's
like,
not
they
the
have
answer,
leaned
though.
All the way into math ball.
But
the one thing I will acquiesce on, right? I will acquiesce. when they are missing shots, it is some of the ugliest basketball. Like, or not actually ugliest, because I've seen ugly basketball, mm-hmm. but it's some of the most uninteresting basketball. However, I cannot blame them and Joe Mazzulla with his mm-hmm. like Rain Man thing he got going on or what have you, right? I cannot blame them for looking at this and going, like, math wise, we have the talent to play this way. And it makes the most sense, because even in a game where they're shooting, like, you look at their shooting numbers and they were not very good, they were still in a game in the hundreds.
Like, it was up by like 20 at one point, though. Yeah.
Three layups.
Yeah, no, I actually understand and very much agree with
I don't think they're switching to that anytime soon unless it's a last resort.
Putting up the most three-pointers in NBA history in the finals is the answer if you can knock down 35%, 38%.
But there's shooting variance that'll happen.
The thing is, when it's bad, it's bad. It's
correct.
Awful. Like, I can't defend that when it's bad, but if it's good, then keep shooting.
And you know what this is reminiscent of? And mm-hmm. we'll get to what are the things that you're hard-headed about here in 1 second, but it's reminiscent of, like, coaching decisions, mm-hmm. especially in football, like going forward on fourth down. I think that if you are going to pride yourself on the more often than not numbers of it, mm-hmm. then you have to stick to the plan, because if you move away from the plan, then you'd kind of violate the idea of, well, then more often enough when you do this.
If the numbers are in your favor. And like, if going for it on fourth and one is 52%, 54%, then yes.
You go for it every time and you deal with the instances where you miss.
But if the shooting three-pointers is 34%, then I don't know if you shoot as many three-pointers. There's a difference between 34% and 54%, you know?
Yeah, but I think, too, I think they don't want to get out of their game, out of their normal.
I get it. I get what they're
so
doing.
So they're trying to shoot themselves out of it.
But they were hard-headed.
Yeah.
They were definitely hard-headed. So what are some things?
I think with a reason, though.
Just won't let it go. Maybe he's hard-headed.
I won't.
Maybe he's hard-headed about that. Maybe,
I am.
Maybe we have his answer.
That is one of them. 100%.
Figgy, what did Christina tell you?
Yeah, so I tested the question the other day, and I'm going to read you exactly what she texted me. She said, "Your damn health.
Your health.
When it comes to that, you don't listen for bleep."
Oh, man, you got to change that.
And this is not telling the whole story.
Oh, let me explain.
So, I'm hard-headed about just keep going to the doctor, and they not giving me an answer to what's going on.
Yeah.
That's when I get irritated. Like, I'm not scared of the doctor or anything like that. I would love to go every chance I get. But mm-hmm. whenever I have a problem, like me having a problem with my knee,
yeah,
I went to like five different doctors and never got an answer. But my pockets are getting thinner.
Yes.
That's when I get irritated. I start going through my conspiracy bag, man. Like, nah, man, the government trying to take me down, man. Mm-hmm. Like, how am I paying $200 and y'all ain't giving me an answer?
Yeah.
Like, that's when I get hard-headed.
Did you say
that's
anything else?
Nah, that was it.
That's a good one, though. That's a good one, then, on what are you hard-headed about, like the Celtics taking these three.
How about you?
Yeah, it is smart for me to go first, huh? Because you're going to filibuster through the rest of this. So I hit up a homeboy of mine because I was like, that's probably a better place to go than a homegirl, because that might be a little longer. My stance on boneless wings is absolutely one of those. I feel like just you should not do that.
They're nuggets?
They are chicken nuggets, and they are sold at a chicken wing premium, and that is wrong. Like, they're not, they're good, but it's bad value.
Mm-hmm.
Stadium funding with public money. I'm very stubborn about that. And then pet social media accounts.
Oh, come on, man.
I think they stink.
Oh, man. I've got so many of those that I follow. You've seen them.
I know. And I've held my tongue, haven't I?
Oh, man.
I think they stink.
Those are the best. We rate dogs and dogs doing cute things.
They never cause any problems,
What do they do to you?
They stay in their lane, man. They ain't out here with no hot takes.
Yeah. Reggie doesn't like cute. We've established that.
I love plenty of cute.
He doesn't like cute. All right, so I got a litany of things that have been texted to me from my family. Ceiling fans. I have to sleep with a ceiling fan on even in the dead of winter, even in the middle of a freeze. I have the heat on, but a ceiling fan. Finishing a project. Like even if it's just kicking my ass. Like if I'm putting together like whatever, a table or making something for one of my kids or grandkids or whatever, even if it's just kicking my ass, I am going to finish that.
See, that one makes sense.
I am going to finish that.
There's a completionist, there's a determinist. Can we go back like in the winter? You be having that fan on?
I got to have the ceiling fan on.
I'm the same way.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Leaving my vehicle on when pumping gas.
Yeah.
Y'all aren't the only ones.
He is hard-headed about that. That's a good point.
Y'all aren't the only ones that
that don't like that.
At best, like at best, right? Even if you're not going to blow up the whole spot, which you might, you're just wasting gas in that moment. Like, why?
You're not. It's if your car is off for more than a minute and a half, then it's better to just leave it on. Unless your car is off for more than a minute and a half, it's better to leave it on.
How long you pump gas for?
I looked at about a minute. About a minute.
Okay. He out here running a pit stop.
He out here with a time clock.
Yeah.
A stopwatch.
One of my sons said you were hard-headed about the phone you had.
But that's not on the table no more.
That's true.
All it took was your baby girl.
And Lopez was not biting the bullet. I thought he wasn't going to bite the bullet for his grandbaby. I was telling him, like, man, get it for the grandbaby.
I did.
He was talking about not being in the group chats and all that stuff.
He would not budge. I was the green bubble. Mm-hmm. My other son said the music at a party. Like, if we're hosting, I'm playing the music.
Oh, you're not going to let nobody touch the aux?
No.
Okay.
Man, you crazy, man.
I am playing the music if we're hosting a party. And then my daughter said, everybody's weighing in on this.
Of course they are, which I just got one in that is actually a great one.
My daughter said, taking a very specific route while driving, whether it's more efficient or not.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. I'm going this way.
Of all the ones that you said, that one is the worst.
You could cut across over here. I used to go this way.
I go this way.
That one's the worst. Especially in Houston with the traffic that you might face. This is the way. I just realized one that I know that upsets y'all because I'm pretty sure we've gotten to this place before. And it's kind of a two-parter. I don't watch trailers for movies that I know I'm going to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm hard-headed about it. Mm-hmm. So people are like, oh, man, have you seen the trailer? I'm like, no, I already said I was going to watch that, so I'm not. And then the second one is just recommendations.
You don't like recommendations, or you do?
I'm very finicky on them. I don't frequently take recommendations on like, media from a lot of people. People are like, oh, you got to watch this. I'm like, no, I don't. Tiger King.
Yeah.
When Tiger King was popular, people were like, you gotta watch Tiger King. And I was like, No, I don't.
I really don't.
I really don't. And I haven't to this day. I know everything I need to know. I know about Tiger, Carol Baskins and everything. I know what I need to know.
From this 409, I'm hard headed about people putting their last name on the back of a pro jersey or a college jersey.
Dang.
Okay.
Really?
All right.
I guess he wants the player's name.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Hard-headed about only eating at restaurants where I get points.
That's a good one. Yeah, you're winning here. That is a good one. Yeah. I appreciate the dedication to the bit there. But they said sorry, Foco to Chow.
They're getting very specific.
Yeah, it's like, do you think Foco to Chow is like, damn.
Man, we lost Chuck.
Somebody said, Reggie, what the hell? Do you not like dogs? I mean, dogs are cool. I ain't got no problem with
that
dogs.
That one bothers me, man. It's cuteness. It's cuteness. Well,
you know, the thing that really gets me is the folks that got the dog account where they tweet or post as the dog.
Oh, my son does that.
Like, do you not have shame?
My son's dog, Campbell, which is you need to look it up. It's Parks of Houston or something, where Campbell, they go to a different park in Houston almost every day. And Campbell rates the park for dogs.
No, Campbell didn't.
Yeah.
You rated the park.
No.
And Campbell enjoyed being outside.
Campbell did.
I love that now, and one of the things that you're the most hard-headed about, everybody is coming back to you from the 281. Lopez, I deliver gas to gas station. Leaving the car on can blow the whistle, blow the whole place up. They go over that in safety training.
That is not
Thank you,
no, 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 no.
true. No, this Finish, is an expert right here.
An
no,
expert.
No.
Clearly.
No,
they said they had the
He's
safety
in that
training
field.
And
Google
they've
it.
Seen the
you
videos.
You ain't in that field.
Google they got it. The video. So Google is what you're defending.
Take a back seat, bud. This is a professional right here. From the 281. The 281. Salute to the 281. Saving lives.
I do love that the 346 goes. They will not smoke dispensary weed. So they're like,
I know a lot of people like that, man.
Is it just that the experience is uncanny for you? Like, I feel like I got to get this from behind the Denny's. Like, this is the way that I need to get my weed, right? Like, is that how that works for you? You enjoy the fear of it all? Fear is probably not the right word.
Now Captain Scott is weighing in.
Yeah.
Hard-headed about throwing those damn popping corks, which is a style of fishing. I mean, they catch fish, so yeah. By the way, it's Tales of Houston Parks. Shout out to Campbell, my son's dog. Look at this. How cute is that? She rates different parks around Houston.
No, he rates parks around Houston, and he takes picture of the dog.
It's on Instagram.
What's the best park? Because I want to take Jackson to a park.
Well, go to follow Tales of Houston Parks on Instagram. Look at all this. She goes to dozens, if not hundreds, of parks. And rates them for dogs. There you go.
And I do want to pre-defend myself by saying I will take recommendations if I ask for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just the recommendations that people offer unsolicited. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I still think that the Celtics are going to win that series, mind
you.
Oh,
I do too.
And they're going to do it doing it the way that they do.
Yeah, missing a lot of threes.
Making a lot of threes.
They missing more than they make.
Hey, you talk about the champs right now, man.
Every once in a while they miss. It be like that sometimes. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, we welcome in a man, B. Scott, and go around the NFL, including, does this lawsuit feel like it is fair to you, or is it litigious? We'll talk about that next.